This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. There's much at risk in the Americas right now, and the unknowns of Venezuela, the rogue state of Venezuela, led by a despot, Maduro, who is not recognized as a legitimate president by the United States of America and other countries, is now indicated that he will appropriate the ability to explore a region called Essequibo, that is the territory of Guyana, formerly British Guyana, his neighbor, a much smaller state, 800,000 people worldwide, a large diaspora in the U.S. Venezuela right now has announced that it will send exploratory teams into Essequibo. I understand there are very few people who live there, triple canopy jungle, lush Amazonian terrain, but offshore of Essequibo, according to Exxon, are 11 billion barrels or more of light sweet crude. In other words, a fortune's fortune. Professor, the headline says Venezuela and Guyana to meet on December 14th because of this dispute, territorial dispute. My understanding, and having read everything so far, is that there's no dispute except for the fact that a large neighbor who's has the support of bad actors from outside, has decided to grab the territory of his next-door neighbor because the next-door neighbor is helpless. Is there another way to interpret this event? Good evening again.
Good evening, John. Some within Madurismo in Venezuela would interpret it differently, but it goes to the point that, not all sides in disputes are equal. Secretary Almagro of the Organization of American States, I think, really cast it well. So to make it clear, number one, there was a legal resolution of this under international law in 1899. So this has been settled law for quite some time. Though some events have come to light to suggest that maybe there was some, hanky-panky in, the way that the judges interacted on that dispute. That 1899 legal ruling, as anybody who has had a legal ruling knows, the legal ruling is binding until it is changed. Number two, there was a 1966 agreement which said, okay, we'll try to work out some of the differences, but if it turns out that we can't resolve them, then, it will go to binding arbitration. In 2018, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, said in light of various different acts of Venezuelan aggression against oil ships that were trying to explore in the area, there is clearly not an ability to resolve this peacefully. The matter was referred to the International Court of Justice, in which both parties have accepted binding jurisdiction. Venezuela tried to stop that from happening. The ICJ considered their argument and ruled to dismiss that argument. And so, not only is there a legally binding international agreement that has not yet been changed, but the matter is actually before the ICJ. So I think what we're seeing, it's unfortunately a part of the broader deterioration of the international rule of order, and reminds us of what accompanies that international rule of law that really is underpinned the Western prosperity since the Second World War. Just as we saw with Russia's stirring up trouble and fabricating an excuse to invade the Ukraine, and then saying, well, it's just about differences. What you're seeing now is a country that, Venezuela has something that they want, its vast oil reserves, as well as wanting to divert from the question of authoritarianism in Venezuela. And so you have a country, Venezuela, with Sukhoi fighter jets, T-72 tanks, large amounts of armored vehicles, a an army of 575,000 people, which is almost as big as Guyana's entire population, going against a tiny Guyanese defense force of some 3,000 people, basically saying, like Russia said with Ukraine, we're going to take what we want and stir up trouble, and we're going to say it's ours and pretend it's ours. We're going to declare a military zone over your area. We're going to declare that our oil company and our mining company have the right to start giving out licenses to explore your country. There's even a new official map that shows Guyana is theirs. And so, sadly, when powerful countries can make up things to take what they want, it means that everyone is vulnerable. And then that's essentially, in my judgment, where we're at with this crisis right now.
Admiral Stavridis, who is now a private citizen, but very much writing for Bloomberg Opinion commonplacently, Admiral Stavridis has this recommendation about what is to be done immediately with the threat. Amping up U.S. military forces, perhaps even sending more ships to Guyanese ports, there are always Navy and Coast Guard ships underway in the Caribbean, is a good idea. An on-the-ground exercise of units from U.S. Army South, the Army component of Southern Command, could be organized quickly. Do you believe that this would back off Venezuela for the U.S. to show up and say, we're defending Guyana?
Well, it certainly wouldn't cause Maduro to back off, but it probably would be strategically helpful. Indeed, we've already had an overflight, an exercise by U.S. fighter aircraft, with the permission of our Guyanese partners there near the border region. And I understand that there has been a visit by a senior level U.S. defense official to Guyana. So there have been indications, and I would hope that Juan Gonzalez and the National Security Council continue steadfast in that U.S. support against potential Venezuelan aggression. Now, clearly, Maduro will use this, as he always has, to say, this is Yankee imperialism, taking U.S. oil. But you can never guard against, what adversaries will say to try to, use their interpretation of history to turn others against the United States. But at the end of the day, a credible threat that the U.S. will defend international law and will defend the status quo. If the U.S., like in Ukraine, does not stand steadfast against a partner who confides in us against aggression, then things in Latin America will continue to go in a very troublesome direction with those who have the force and want to use that force to take what they will.
There's trouble in Guatemala, Professor. There's too many villains. There's too little time. We must attend. President-elect Arvalo is now in a moment doubtful that he will be able to be inaugurated in mid-January because of a dispute over the party that sponsored him for the election, now ruled unacceptable because of fraud, is the way it was presented to me. And Arevalo, in the streets, in conversation, says there's a soft or rolling coup underway in Guatemala. What does Guatemala mean to the United States? What does it mean to Central America? The U.S. is now voicing concern that democracy is at risk.
Well, certainly, John, Guatemala is an indication of one of the new trends that we're seeing globally, which is what's referred to as lawfare. Elites both on the right and left, we've seen it with Nicaragua, with the outlawing of their opposition after the 2018 protests. You've long seen it in Venezuela as Chavez and Maduro consolidated power over the past two decades there. But essentially using control over legal and other institutions to prevent challenges. The courts, the attorney general, the Congress. And so what you've seen with this long transition in Guatemala is that the established conservative elites first tried to change who could be candidates. And then when that didn't work, it actually only mobilized people to rally around Arevalo and his Semilla party because they were sick of corruption. Then they tried to disqualify his party. You had the attorney general raiding the offices of Semilla. And so now you have both the continuation of that to essentially try to block that party and the legislator from having any real ability to do anything. And indeed, investigating Arevalo himself. himself, to basically perhaps even prevent him from taking power. And so it's been a long transition. We're still, a couple of weeks away from that. The U.S. has responded by doubling down on the number of Guatemalan elites that we are sanctioning. But at the end of the day, it again goes back to the idea that, if elites can use their control of institutions to do what they want, then, essentially everything that's based on rule of law in not only Guatemala, but the broader region continues to unravel.
Is there an outside hand here, Professor? Because the dispute has strengthened, not weakened, in the many weeks that since the election. Does it suit others that Guatemala tip into illiberalism?
Well, it certainly, the irony is, John, that the conservative elites in Guatemala right now, are no friends of China. Indeed, they recognize Taiwan. They're no friends of Russia. Indeed, one of the things that the GMIT government would probably counter-argue is, hey, you shouldn't pressure us because, strategically, we are your friends against the advance of these broader threats. Although, certainly Russia and China and others benefit from this level of disarray, whether it's Guatemala or elsewhere. The risk basically actually is that you have an Arevalo government coming to power, radicalized, led to turn to a China or others if there is the sense that the United States hasn't adequately supported them. And there's also the risk that this sends to others in the region, both on the right and left, about their ability to essentially get away or not get away with anti-democratic actions.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're going to a story at the State Department that is both melodramatic and revelatory about the contest between Havana and Washington for decades. A spy in the State Department. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.